Good morning.
Good morning.
One more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I am not Colton. I am not even Johnny. My name is Austin. Hi, Austin. Nobody? Dang. All right. I am very blessed and honored to be here this morning to present the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning. Yes, amen. I do not take this for granted. This is an honor to do this. Anytime you can share about Jesus is a win. And just to give you a little background of who I am before we dive into the parables of Jesus, we're continuing the third week of this. Colton had us week one. Johnny had us week two, you got me week three, and come back next week to find out who's week four. It might be you. It might be you. If Colton says, I got to talk to you, you might be up next week. So just be heads up on that. So if he has a meeting with you, you might want to cancel if you don't like public speaking. But my name is Austin Dixon. My wife, Haley, she's up here and her beautiful voice. You see Owen running around here sometimes a little bit. I am a local missionary. Some of you most know this, but some people are new this morning. And if you're new this morning, thank you for being here. It's a blessing to have new faces in the house of the Lord this morning. And what I do, absolutely. Clap for, yeah. And I am, like I said, I am a local missionary for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So I serve in Williamson County, in Saline County. So what I do is I get to go into the schools and tell kids, coaches, teachers, administrators, principals, janitors, cafeteria workers about the name of Jesus. Amen. That's what I get to do. Amen. We can absolutely clap for that. It is an absolute privilege and honor to do what I get to do, and I don't take it for granted. So that just want to give you a little background of what I do for a living. I've been doing it for 3 years now. I'm born and raised all my life here in Southern Illinois. I grew up in Marion, graduated Marion, went to SIU, played football, blah, blah, blah. But Jesus has me here right now to tell people about Jesus, because that's what matters. You're going to hear the name Jesus a lot. I'm a Jesus freak. I really am. It's him or nothing. I'm a very all-in or all-out person. There's no gray in my life. I'm all in for Jesus. And as believers in Christ, we need to be all in for Jesus. And if you're a new believer, amen. Welcome to the team. Go be all in. Again, I want to thank Pastor Colton for allowing me to do this morning, and also the elders of the church. Allow me to present the gospel. Again, I don't take that for granted, and giving the stage to somebody can be nervous, and I hope I do okay. But I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive in into the parables of Jesus, week three. Okay, so let's pray. Gracious Father, I pray right now that you would empty this room of doubts, of fears, of struggles, of anxiety, of worldly joy, that we would focus on your love, your grace, and your mercy. Right now, Lord. That we would be like children this morning to be absorbed to what the teachings of the red letter say to us this morning. Not what Austin, Fellowship of Christian Athletes missionary, has to say, but what Jesus spoke years ago that reigns true this morning. That you would hit a heart this morning. To know that all of this is a heart issue this morning, of this parable. That we would know that we need a Savior this morning. That we need hope this morning. We need direction this morning. We need truth this morning. God, we thank you for the hearts and the chairs this morning. Knowing there's a purpose, they're sitting there. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I move around a lot when I preach. I'm sorry if that bugs you. Last week, Johnny was still as a board, like right here. Money, right here, delivering such a great message. He can't hear me right now, but hopefully he rewatches this later. He's back in Children's Church. What a guy. Children's Church, the second week, first week, he's out here preaching. Well done, Johnny. But what I do is I bounce back and forth because I can't contain myself. I can't. He's got ADHD. No, I don't. Maybe. I don't. But I look at it this way. When I grew up, football was life. Again, I'm a very sports guy. If you don't like sports, I'm sorry. But sports is life. Other than Jesus, Jesus is the truth. But then sports is like, But like right before kickoff, you'd have this anxiety. You have all this motion of like, let's go. There's 10 minutes before kickoff. You're pacing back and forth. You ever went to a Friday night at Marion High School from 2007 to about 2018, you would see this bearded man back and forth on the turf, just walking back and forth. That was me. And then finally, we kicked off. It's good. That was a field goal, by the way. Okay. Wow. Okay. No on football jokes. But now that we're here, it's go time. We're here. Kickoff has happened. We lost the toss. We're playing defense. Let's go. So now it's time to bring the message this morning. And that's why I can't sit still. Football comes and goes. You win, you lose. Jesus stays forever. Jesus has my heart. I'm a big Bears fan. They're going to lose this year, and I'm going to hate them. They're going to drive me nuts. But my Lord and Savior is the strength and is the stronghold of my life. So I'm going to put a picture up, transitioning into the parables of Jesus and what we're talking about. And let's see if we can figure out what we're talking about this morning. Picture. Huh. That's the right picture. Good job. Who is that? Well done. Give yourself a pat on the back. There you go. And then who's back there? Well done. Well done. Who's your favorite? You have a favorite? Okay. All right. So I have a picture of Scrooge McDuck. Interesting. So the parable that we're talking about this morning, you can leave the picture up, is the rich fool. Luke chapter 12, 13 through 21 is where we will be this morning. Keep the picture up. Colton asked me to preach, and I said, sure. Make sure it's something that I can really gnaw on and chew on. And he sent me this, and I'm like, oh. Oh, boy. Because to be honest with you, this passage of truth was quite difficult to read, to digest, to chew, to linger on. It challenged me. I wrote three different sermons for this morning. First one, gone. Second one, gone. Third one, don't worry, I won't fall either. Third one, I said, let's roll. And I believe this morning, this should be a challenge for all of us. Because in reality, we are every bit of Scrooge McDuck. All of us. Whenever I preach, I get the opportunities to share at camps, at churches, at VBSs, whatever you name it. Whenever I preach, I'm looking in the mirror. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I am in this with all of you. I am not talking at you. I'm talking with you. As brothers and sisters of Christ, we are in this together, and we are all Scrooge McDuck. You're going, I'm not. Don't you dare call me a duck. I'm a mouse. I'm a Mickey Mouse fan. No, we're Scrooge McDuck. And again, we should be challenged this morning. And I want you just to look at that picture just for a couple more seconds. I like to drag things out a little bit to really bring some to the moment. And like really have our hearts focused on what he is doing while the little guys just sit there and watch. We're going to read scripture now as that goes away from the screen. We have scripture this morning, David. Luke chapter 12, 13 through 21. We stand for the word of God this morning, so if you're able, please stand. If not, just have a seat. Jesus is the same, sitting or standing. We try to honor him this morning. And I'm gonna read the parable of the rich fool. Verse 13 in the Living Word of God says, someone from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Verse 14 in red letters, it says, friend, he said to him, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter over you? Verse 15, he said, then he told them, watch out and be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in abundance of his possessions. Then he told them this parable. A rich man's land was very productive. He thought to himself, what should I do since I don't have anywhere to store my crops? I'll do this, he said. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain and my goods there. Then I'll say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. Some might in your Bibles might say, be merry. Verse 20. But God said to him, you fool. This very night, your life is demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Verse 21 concludes the parable. That's how it is with the one who stores up their treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this book, that it's real, that it's truthful, that it doesn't lie, that it is the standard of our life. We thank you this morning that we have an understanding of what it is of rich in fullness. God, give us wisdom this morning over this scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in reality, we are so rich, but all of us are fools. You are a fool this morning. Don't take it personal. Again, I'm a fool, you're a fool, we're all fools. But we're also so rich. So how do we find the balance in all of this? What is Jesus trying to teach us today? And I hope you have the hearts to listen to it this morning. That yes, we are very well off, but you're also a fool. The main point I want to get at this morning is this question. Are you rich towards God? If you're taking notes, if you really just like wake me up when there's something very important going on, this is it. Are you rich towards God? That's the question we need to figure out as a group. Again, we're in this together. We're going to try to figure this out. Luckily, the answer is in the book, and it tells us. And disclaimer, this is not to bash rich people. I'm talking about if you're well off this morning, if you woke up this morning in your bank account and it's really, really well off, this is not bashing you. I don't want you to think rich people, you stink. That's not what this message is about. Or if you have the greatest collection of cars in your big garages this morning. Some of us collect a lot of things. This is not bashing you this morning. Don't think, well, I just got that new Mercedes. I don't really need that anymore. I need to sell it because I'm a fool. That's not what this passage is talking about. It is not saying because you are rich, you're a fool, you're dumb, you need to sell everything, get rid of everything. That's not what this is saying. Okay? I want to understand that for all of us this morning. Because to be honest with you, I collect a lot of things too. I do. I like plastic toys. Hashtag Legos. If you walk down the aisle of Walmart and Target, Legos are not cheap. They're not what they used to be. I collect baseball cards. I collect sports memorabilia. I do. I have a couple of cards. They're worth some money. They're not bad. Not bad. Does that make me that I got to sell everything and get rid of everything? Depends on where my heart is with God. So I'm sharing that this morning just so like we know it's not all bad. Like, don't feel bad if you've got the money, if you have the collection of whatever. I don't want you to leave here going, man, he really knocked me in the teeth. That got me. I got to sell everything. Nope. Because these red letters explain what we should do. And like I said earlier, I'm a big red letters guy. What does Jesus say about this? What does he tell us? Listen, we could have the greatest conversation in the world if it's just me and you. I'm probably going to fail you. I'm going to lead you down a path that probably you're like, that didn't work out for me. But when you read these red letters, that's the truth. That's what we need to hear this morning. So let's break down the scripture this morning. If you open up your book and you go beginning of the chapter 12 of Luke, it breaks down opening with a crowd in the thousands. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and it opens up, and thousands of people are running to Jesus early on in Luke chapter 12. And he is teaching them on warnings and encouragements. So he is opening this up saying we are to be careful. We are to be aware of our surroundings, but also encourage us in all that we do. Jesus is talking about being on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees. Nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. I'm breaking down early on in chapter 12. Jesus also talks about do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after can do no more. But does talk about whom you should fear. And lastly, before we get to our parable, the Holy Spirit will teach us what needs to be said in front of people. That's setting up Luke chapter 12. And be honest with you, that last part is my life. What needs to be said in front of people? Well, we're here right now. I'm in front of people. Holy Spirit, lead me. And that's how I go into every single conversation in front of people. I've done my homework. I've read the scriptures. I think I have the answer. But now that I'm in front of people, it's no longer the mirror at home or my wife hearing me for the 17th time. It's y'all. Holy Spirit, you're up. Lead me, direct me, guide me. That's what Luke, in the book of Luke, Jesus is trying to teach us. The thousands of people, when you get in front of people, because sometimes when you get in front of people, they judge you, right? I really hope you're not judging me this morning, but you know what? Bring it on. Don't really care, okay? Why is that dude wearing some kind of Crocs this morning? They're not Crocs. They're called Canes. They're athletic Crocs, okay? Back off. Some of you are looking down at my feet right now like, I didn't even notice. Or like, oh man, he's talking about those ugly shoes. Don't judge me. They're my feet. Worry about your own feet. All right? I wore these shoes on purpose. For that reason right there. Because we get judged. But let's look at the parable of the rich fool. In our main text, we read about a brother who, can we say, kind of interrupts Jesus when he's teaching and begins to yell at him, kind of, in whining about what? What's he whining about? Inheritance. I'm about to say, please, we just read this. Tell me we know what we're talking about this morning. So we have this brother. We don't really know if he's the little brother, the older brother. We don't know any of this. But he comes up to Jesus and the thousands of people and says, yo, Jesus, I want my money. I want it. And kind of like babyish. Kind of annoying. And he wants his inheritance. And he wants Jesus to be the teacher slash rabbi here and settle this situation with his brother and divide the inheritance. That's what we read in verse 13. In verse 14, goes on and says, man, who approached me or who appointed me as judge or an arbiter between you two? Then he says, watch out. So Jesus is laying down like, okay, well, timeout. Give me a 30-second timeout, right? Basketball, we don't need a full timeout. Full timeout, when you get TVs involved, you get advertisers. No, just give me a 30-second timeout. We just need to calm down here. Who are you yelling at me? Who called you to be the judge for me to be the judge over all this? Then he says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions. And that's all we get in this small little scripture before we get into the parable. So he's telling them, brother, I need you to calm down and watch out. And be careful. Because I'm telling you right now, greed is dangerous. Greed leads to destruction. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. So then comes the parable. Here comes what we're all here to talk about, which is an internal struggle we are all facing. I need you to hear that this morning. In this story, we are all the rich fool. Put yourself in this story right now. Because Jesus wants to remind us that this is an earthly story with heavenly meaning. And Colton kind of talked about that 2 weeks ago. That's why this is so important to have these parables in our lives. So we start off in verse 16 with a rich man who just had an abundant harvest, okay? So let's just get one thing straight out of the back. This man's already rich. He's well off. Again, all of us sitting in this room, we're pretty well off. Would we like a little bit more money? Would we like to have another week of vacation? Would we like to have a bigger car? Would we like to have, maybe instead of McDonald's, we go to Texas Roadhouse for lunch today? Sure, right? Like, come on, people. Listen, I'm a truther. I call it how it is. Again, talking to myself. There's a mirror in front of me. So this man is already well off. Then he thinks to himself, what should I do now? I have no place to store my abundance. What a tough problem to have. Yeah, all this harvest, what am I supposed to do with it all? I'm already rich. It's overflowing. Kind of back to that picture of Scrooge McDuck. You don't need to bring it up. But he dives into this pit of money, and it's just so much money. He wants more. If you're a Scrooge McDuck fan this morning, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to knock Scrooge McDuck. But it's just a good picture for the illustration, okay? He earned that money. Like, it's, we get that, okay. But he has no place to store his crops. So we continue in 18, and he says, this is what I'll do. He figures it out. Light bulb goes above his head. A lot of us have a light bulb sometimes that go over our head without thinking about what should we do first and let Jesus lead us. We try to lead our own story. We try to be the captain of our own ship. That ship is sinking, y'all. It's going down. But let's continue to see what happens. Let's just see. This is what I'll do. He's going to tear down his perfectly good barns and build bigger ones. Ah, that's smart. Yeah, these barns are perfect. Get rid of them. Johnny, I need your bulldozer. Let's knock them down. Good to see Johnny this morning as well. We prayed for him 2 weeks ago, and that man's out and about, and he's wanting to go swimming. Like, he's asked me 17 times, like, bro, you just, no, we're not swimming yet. Like, just relax. Rest. But he gets a construction crew, and he just nails it all down. Perfectly good barns. He wants bigger ones to take care of his surplus problem. Probably not cheap to knock down those barns and build new ones either. Just saying, my guy. Then verse 19, it goes on. This leads to the rich fool thinking. So again, he's thinking again. Not a good situation. I've always got myself in trouble when Austin thinks too much. Anybody else kind of agree with that? Whenever you start thinking, like by yourself, you're like, you overthink things. Does anybody else overthink things? Every hand should be raised, you bunch of liars. Yeah, sorry, Colton, I call your congregation liars. They are. But this world overthinks things. And this guy did the same, this fool. He says, I'm good for years, so you know what? Take a break, eat, drink, and be merry. End of story. Let's pray. Nope. Verse 20. Bring the hammer. Come on, Jesus. Come on. But God shouts out, you fool. So we think we have a plan. We're going to tear down barns. We're rich. We have all this money. We have surplus. It's all about us. Me, 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 me. The me mentality. It's a dangerous game. I hope I'm pulling out some hearts this morning. I really am. Please listen this morning. This is so important for us to understand that we got to get away from the me mentality. Jesus came here to serve. Jesus came here to love. It's not about you. We're to follow Jesus and to serve and to love. And continuing, it says, this night, guess what? Your time's up. Like, to be blunt with you, that's what the scripture's telling us. You're up. The upper room. You next. Anybody ever seen the movie Life? Nobody? It's not appropriate. But they talk about that when somebody's ready to, like, go up to the big leagues. Like heaven, they talk about the upper room, you're up. That's what's happening here. In verse 20. And guess what? Who gets all your stuff? Who gets it? You have all this surplus, you have all these grains, you're a rich man already. But guess what? Your life is demanded of you, so now it's time for you to go. And we close out in verse 21, it says this is what's going to happen. Whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. I want you to think about that this morning before we break down now the scripture into getting to my points. Is, are you rich toward God, or are you rich to this world? It's a great question to ask. Ask yourself, now don't look to your spouse, don't look to your girlfriend, don't look to your kids. Like, are you rich towards God? Honey, are you rich towards God? No, you are asking yourself this question this morning. I asked myself the last 3 weeks, am I rich towards God? Or am I in this job that I'm in this life, all about me? And sometimes I get to my knee and I say, Lord, please tell me I'm doing the right thing. Because sometimes I feel like I'm not. And I have this me personality. That's human nature for us to fail. That's why we need encouragement. That's why we need scripture. That's why we need the red letters. That's why we need Jesus to tell us all these things, to remind us once again. This is a reminder for us this morning. Because almost, I guarantee it, who's heard this verse before? Most hands should be raised. If you've been in church for a long time or a short time, you've probably heard this scripture. This is a reminder for us this morning about not being a fool. Austin, stop being a fool. So what's the purpose of this parable? Almost said parallel. That wouldn't have been right. Again, this parallel is an internal battle we all face. So in this, we hear about a brother yelling Jesus that he wants to fix things. Hey, magic wand, Jesus, just fix it. Give me my inheritance and move on. Right? Something like that. I don't even know what I just did. Sorry if I cast a spell on you. My bad. I did not mean to. I cancel it. Now he's talking about witchcraft? Good gravy. Get this guy off stage. Get this guy off stage. I wasn't. That was more like yelling. Sorry. He's yelling at Jesus, telling him what to do, fix my problem, when the problem is that there's an issue with the brother's heart. There's a heart problem going on. There's something inside the brother that is struggling to understand and to understand more about this guy named Jesus, more than he just fixes things. That's the fool in him. Is that it's not a fix-it situation, it's a heart situation. Where is your heart directing you this morning? This side of the room, where is your heart directing you this morning? Is your heart focused on the world? Is your heart focused on what you're going to do for lunch? How about you guys? What's your heart problem? I'll get to you. What is it? Hope so. Nah, I can't even. That room, that side of the room is, I'm just kidding. What is our heart problem this side of the room? Are you rich towards God? Or are you more focused on how can I serve myself? Yelling at a situation. Not thinking, maybe there's a heart issue with me. Not the other person. Oh, it's always the other person. Hey, it's my brother. He's the problem. I just want my inheritance. Sorry. That's the problem we face this morning. God. Yeah. Even Siri's like, we got a problem this morning. We do. We got a big problem. Technology. That's the problem. That's a whole nother sermon, though. God wants to change the heart. You're taking notes this morning. Wake up. God wants to change the heart. 1 Timothy chapter 6 really talks about this. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. I have in my notes, greed/covet. What are we coveting this morning? Covetousness. It's hard for me to say. It's weird. Covetousness. I don't like it. But it's a word. It's something we all struggle with. And that's the issue. Not if you're because you're rich or you have a lot of possessions that you like to collect, is if you're coveting these things. If you're greedy over these things. If you're diving into your money like Scrooge McDuck. That's the problem this morning with our hearts. Because the 10th commandment says, thou shalt not. Listen, we got to be bold in our faith. If you know the answer to a question, let's go. What's the 10th commandment? What's it say? Amen, brother. Thank you. Listen, hey, we're believers in Jesus. If somebody came up to you, hey, Johnny, what's the 10th commandment? What? We tell them. This world's going to knock us down. We are to be soldiers. We know what we need to talk about. Now, I'm not saying you got to know all the Bible trivia. You don't need it from front and back. But those kind of things we probably should know. And it says that shall not covet. And this sin is so important that God put it in the top 10 because guess what? This leads to lying, stealing, taking God's name in vain, and also murder. That's how important this is, this greed thing. If you sit there and you go, man, I wish I had a nicer car like Colton. Man, I'm jealous of him. Man, that vacation looked real nice. I just went to Harrisburg and sat there and walked around Walmart. But he went on vacation to Florida? Man. You get greedy. You get jealous. Leads to sin. Leads to bigger things. Leads to lying, stealing, taking God's name in vain. It could lead to murder because you're so greedy. Listen, sin is nasty. We can all agree on that. It ain't pretty. It will consume you. Don't sit there and think, oh no, it won't. It will consume you. If you let your heart slip and you fall into the trap of greed and coveting things, it goes down a nasty path. I've been there. I've lied before. Listen, I'm a sinner. I don't know if you know this or not, but we're all sinners. I fall short every single day. I'm not perfect. If you think I'm perfect, we're not. Colt comes up here every single Sunday. He ain't perfect. Trust me, he ain't perfect. My time to shine, man. You gave me the stage. I'm going to tell you some stories about Colton. Just kidding. Different time. Yeah, I see you. I got you. Not that story about... Okay. He is. He's a sinner. Any elder that walks up here, I'm not trying to throw them under the bus, but they're sinners. We are. We shouldn't be greedy. This is what's wrong with the man's heart this morning. He's struggling with this. He's yelling at Jesus, just give me my inheritance. I don't want to hear anything about my heart. And that's why Jesus is like, slow down. Big stop sign. Stop. Sometimes we need a big stop sign in our life. Don't we? Be on guard. Verse 15, we want more. I hear you, Olin. We want more in life. We're not content. But 1 Timothy chapter 6 talks about that. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So let's get to the points of fool and not fool. So like I said earlier, God does not call him a fool because he is rich. It is not sinful for us to be rich by honest means. money is kind of neutral in reality. Could be good, and it could be used for bad, right? Can we agree with that? You could have all the money in the world, and you're just divvying it out to charity, left and right. Awesome. But you also could have money, and you're hoarding it like Scrooge McDuck. And you're sitting on it, and you're like, nope, mine, me, nope, my toy, can't have it. Put it in the back pocket. Can't get it. That's what we are sometimes. Listen, I act like a baby right there because that's what we look like sometimes. We look like babies. Austin looks like a baby sometimes. My wife being here be like, yeah, it's like a baby all the time. The Cubs were losing last night. And I just turned the TV off like a big baby. I said, I ain't watching this crap. Guess what? They came back and won. Boom! Because I didn't watch. I'm superstitious. Right? We've all been there. We all like Kentucky basketball. They're losing night. Turn it off. I ain't watching. This is dumb. Nope. That's a baby mentality. We are. We're fools. But the love of money is the root of evil. So like I said, it could be neutral, could be good, could be bad. But if you're just in love, you have this passion, you're just growing for it, you want more and more and more, that's where the problem lies. That's a heart issue. He's also not a fool because he stores his grains in barns. This is okay. I kind of talked about this earlier. If you have like a garage full of like cars and you've earned that, it's okay to have a savings account. Like your surplus that you're holding back, a nest egg, a 401k, it's okay. Good for you. You're doing probably right things. You're setting up a college fund. You're doing whatever. Yes, that's okay. That's not the sin we're talking about here. So I want to be very clear on what he is not being called a fool for. Because this is what he's calling a fool for. Five things. We're getting there. Promise you. Not much longer. One reason why he is a fool is he thought only of himself. If you're writing things down, verse 17 through 19, guess what? My way too many times. I should do this. My. Everything we have belongs to God. Do not forget that this morning. Point number two, pursuit of his own pleasures. That's a tough one for some of us. We like our things, right? You go home, I want to be comfy, I want to do this, I want to do that. Leave me alone, give me 20 minutes. We like our own pleasures. Hedonistic mentality. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. That's the problem we have here, we see in this scripture. Point number three, the rich fool forgot life is short. I hope we realize that this morning. If you're a 10-month-old baby or a 95-year-old in this room, life is short, right? When we were, I blinked, I was in high school yesterday. It was almost 16 years ago. It's crazy. Life is short. Material wealth equals false sense of security. And that's what we see here. And did you know that rich people die just the same as poor people? Did we know that this morning? And not to get like deep on this, but like worldly things like cancer and car crashes and AIDS and things like that, they don't care. It goes after rich people, it goes after poor people. Stop wasting your life on things that are not eternal. That hit me. That one hit me. Am I investing into things that have eternity written on it? Or am I investing in things that just give me pleasure right now? Number four, he forgot his morality. After death is judgment. There's no guarantee we'll be here tomorrow. No guarantee. After my mom passed 5 years ago, it hit me like a brick. the first person I really lost in my life that it stung. And I was there when she passed. And to see it, it's tough that we are not guaranteed tomorrow. And number five, forgot you can't take possessions with you when you die. Your treasures need to be laid upon the Lord. So where is your heart in this manner? And that's something we really need to think about as we're getting close to finishing. Are you rich towards God? Those are five things that made him a fool in this story. So how do you become rich towards God? You humble yourselves in your brokenness, needing the truth. The band can come up as we're getting close. There's three S's to finish up our writing here. And that is how to be rich towards God: service, sanctification, and salvation. Salvation leads to the blood on the cross. That's how we're rich towards God. Not our surplus, not the things we own, not being greedy, not being Scrooge McDuck, but to know that we're going through the process of sanctification and service to others, service to this church, service to our community, service to Jesus. And there's only one way to salvation, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, all of this leads back to him. If it doesn't end with him, it's wrong. If it doesn't end with us talking about Jesus on the cross, his blood, his direction, his life, his everything, it's all for nothing. And I'll stand on that truth. That yes, we are rich. Yes, we are fools. But we have a Savior named Jesus. And that's hope for us this morning. That even when you walk out of here and you hear this message, you're still a fool. But we know who to look to. We know who's our Savior. And that gets me fired up this morning to share about my Jesus. This world will call you fools. They will. There's so many times in my life, what are you doing, Austin? You're weird. What? Why? Why are you doing this? Well, I don't really want God to tell me at the end of the day that you're a fool. I'll take the foolishness by people. Sure, the dude wears wannabe Crocs. I want God to say, he's no fool. He's rich towards me. That's what I want. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for this day, Lord God, and thank you for everything you've done in my life. Thank you for the words this morning. Thank you for the hearts this morning. Thank you for the eyes and ears this morning listening to the word of God, saying yes to your truth, yes to your hope, Lord God. God, I thank you for scripture. I thank you for giving me the breath in my lungs this morning to say what I needed to say for your name, not Austin's name. And as we sing this last song, let it be praise to your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
If you have your little cup and wafer, I think Austin set it up beautifully for us to understand that our position is to be humble before the cross, before the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we remember every week, that we come to this room to be reminded of how foolish we can be, how life can just pull us in different directions, but there's a steady anchor constantly in our life. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he came and he lived perfectly. He died sacrificially and he rose victoriously. We are reminded of that truth as we close the service by taking communion. So please take any being reminded of the blood and salvation of Christ. Would you please stand and let us sing